During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Stephen St. John, Nate Ducati, and Jay Gutierrez. We just heard from ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark, Jeff Passan, and Adrian Wojnarowski talking football, baseball, and NBA basketball there for you in the intro. We've got a good lineup of guests for you today as we get one step closer to the holiday weekend that we're all looking forward to. Today on the show, here in a little bit under an hour, we'll talk to Buster Olney, our baseball insider from ESPN at straight up 7 o'clock. He'll be on the show with us. Then we're going to start a series of a where are they now for our former interns that have gone on to have successful careers despite having one time served as interns on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And first up will be the first intern that I ever had at Union Broadcasting, Mr. Kevin Moyer, who now lives in Arkansas. And we'll find out what Kevin Moyer is doing since he was a valuable intern for the Stephen St. John show, and also since he fell out of a moving golf cart, at the Sports Radio 810 golf tournament well over a decade ago. Rolled down a hill and then landed on a green about 30 feet from the putt. You know, it was actually some nice placement there for Kevin Moyer. So we'll talk, see if he remembers that and anything else from his time with the Border Patrol and find out what he's doing now. Then Gary Lezak, who's also a former Border Patrol intern, will join us and give us, well, you know what, maybe he will give us a forecast, maybe he won't, because he didn't yesterday. And so I can't sit here and tell you for sure that he'll give us the forecast, because I don't know that.
I'm ready for some heat, are you?
Are you ready for the forecast, though, is the question that we have to ask you. Matt Beisler will join us at 8:05 and give us his thoughts on what's going on. He's got a lot of them, and so we'll talk to Matt Beisler, the captain from Sporting Kansas City. Yesterday I had a chance to talk with Mike Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, and this Saturday he's going to be the play-by-play voice, the play-by-play man for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest featuring defending champion Joey Chestnut.
It was one of the best hot dogs I ever had.
Right. Mike Golic Jr. will be on the call for that big event this Saturday at 11 a.m. Central on ESPN, and so had a chance to talk to Mike Golic Jr. about that, and also talked to him about the Chiefs and Chris Jones and everything else. And so Mike Golic Jr. From ESPN Radio will be on the show at 8:30. And then Tim Grunhard, who last night hosted Crunch Time with Frank Bohl, brought to you by our friends at CBD American Shaman. And I heard that I was listening because I was following them last night. I was hosting NFL Live KC, and Tim Grunhard and Frank Bohl had a nice conversation with Kathy Nelson from the Kansas City Sports Commission. And so Timmy can tell us about that. And also, I'm sure we'll talk about Chris Jones with Tim Grunhard when he is on the show from 9 until 10 o'clock today. So you've got all that for you between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There were, there's a lot of headlines, a lot of things to go over that happened between yesterday's show and today's show. We'll start off with the NFL. The NFL preseason schedule, it's not going to hurt anyone's feelings as far as the fans or really the players. Maybe the owners in their pocketbooks, but I don't think anyone else is going to miss preseason football. According to sources, the NFL will shorten the preseason to 2 weeks. Kevin Seifert has a write-up at ESPN.com and says that according to his sources, the NFL has decided to do this, and they are going to cancel weeks 1 and 4 of the original preseason schedule. They had already canceled the August 8th Hall of Fame game. We knew about that. Most players will still report to training camp on July 28th, but the first preseason games won't be played until August 20th through the 24th, and the second week of preseason games is scheduled for August 27th through the 31st. Some reshuffling of the original preseason schedule for weeks 2 and 3 are underway, as each team will play one home game and one road game for the preseason. A formal announcement of the preseason plan is awaiting approval from the NFLPA, which has a players' conference call scheduled for today. And we will find out more about this. Now, that's not the only report concerning the preseason that came out yesterday. Mike Garofalo, who of course has been reporting on Chris Jones, also reported yesterday that the NFLPA still has some questions about even 2 weeks of the preseason, because Mike Garofalo and Tom Pelissero of NFL.com and NFL Network reported that while the expectation for weeks has been the NFL goes to two preseason games, the NFLPA has not signed off on that, and some in union leadership continue to question whether it's smart to play any preseason games at all. And they'll discuss this today on the conference call. And so the NFLPA is just wondering if it's necessary to mix teams and take chances for a couple of games that, let's be honest, that don't count and won't matter. And so the NFLPA, being very vocal about the health and safety of their players, say that that they're not totally on board with the idea that it's safe to play any preseason games, and perhaps the better solution would be just to ramp things up and get everyone ready for the regular season, which, of course, is scheduled to start September 10th with the Chiefs and the Texans. And so more should come out today, but we know for sure it'll be just two preseason games, and there is a distinct possibility that the NFLPA pushes to have no preseason games. And so, and again, later on today, there will be a conference call with representatives from the NFLPA, and they will discuss this matter, so maybe we'll hear something a little bit more concrete later on today. Also in the NFL, there will be no supplemental draft. The supplemental draft has been canceled. That's not a huge deal. Last year, for instance, there was only one pick in the supplemental draft. The Arizona Cardinals took safety Jalen Thompson with a fifth-round pick. But the supplemental draft has taken place every year since its inception in 1977. The only other time there wasn't a supplemental draft was when there was no applicants. There were no applicants for the draft in 2008. But there have been other years in which all clubs passed on making any selections, most recently in both 2016 2017. Of course, the supplemental draft is available for players whose eligibility situations changed after the January declaration deadline for the regular draft. And so no supplemental draft if you were, if Jake was getting ready to conduct an NFL mock supplemental draft. You can go ahead and rip that up and throw that in the trash can, because it will be, right, I know, you've already halfway done with your research. I apologize. I told you to wait, but now Diana Rossini's report from ESPN has ruined your plans for the supplemental mock draft, which oddly enough, you had only one team in the mock draft, which was exciting, but it's not going to happen, Jake. So
Jake just threw an entire three-ring binder in the trash. Big one.
Why he should, you know. Why he had that much information doesn't make a lot of sense.
He's very thorough.
Fine. The other NFL headline that I wanted to mention was what happened. What's he doing?
He just took a big three-ring binder with the Sports Radio 810 logo on it and actually literally threw it in the trash.
I'm not going to let Nate make up stories.
Unbelievable.
I thought he was going to act like he was throwing it in the trash, and then he just chucked it in the trash.
Yeah, it's in there.
It's probably not important. Well, it's just like probably like
it's, like the transmitter logs.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's my supplemental draft binder.
Right. Well, he's on TV, so if you say something, he's got to do it. This is just, you know.
Oh, no, now Jake's taking his shirt off.
No.
Unbelievable.
My body is pretty good right now, though.
What am I missing? And so the other big news from the NFL yesterday was the news that former Pittsburgh Steelers coach and Hall of Famer Bill Cowher, and, of course, former defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs long ago, Bill Cowher, he and his wife, they weren't tested for the coronavirus when they were affected with symptoms in March, but they did test positive for antibodies a month later. And so Bill Cowher and his wife, she's a singer, Veronica Stigler, known by the stage name Queen V. So Bill Cowher and his wife, Queen V, have recovered from the virus, but he told The Athletic that they indeed did have the coronavirus. They first realized something was wrong when they lost their sense of smell and taste after returning from a trip to Honolulu. And they flew back. They flew through Newark Liberty International Airport, went to dinner in New York City before restaurants started closing in March, and then started experiencing symptoms, including loss of smell and taste, and both had shaky joints. That's something Jake has dealt with in the past, but that's a symptom for several things. And so, but this was what Bill Cowher and Queen B were dealing with. Had a slight fever, and his wife had a dry cough. So, but thankfully, they have recovered from the virus. And you know that Bill Cowher was set to be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton next month. But those ceremonies and celebrations have been pushed back a year. So, good news that Bill Cowher and his... I did not know he was married to a singer named Queen V. But I'm very glad that they are both recovered and healthy. So,
yeah, I don't know who Queen V is, but looking up some... she got
Queen
a song
V?
Called Cry this Your Eyes Out.
Yeah, this is Cry Your Eyes Out.
Well, rock and roll.
Hear this for a little bit.
This is Bill Cowher's wife. All right. I mean, it's got almost 276,000 views. That's a pretty good number.
All right.
This is all news to me.
Right. That's exactly right. That's what we do. We bring the news to the people.
Oh, Bill Cowher's in the video.
I was gonna say, picture Bill Cowher like in the crowd. That's my woman right there.
He's actually in the video.
All right, what's he doing in the video?
You're just enamored by this, aren't you?
I'm stunned. Well, Queen V's playing a big game of chess, and this guy that she's playing chess against almost attacked her, but Bill Cowher steps in and protects her.
Are there any words to the song other than cry your eyes out? I haven't heard anything else. Cry your eyes out.
It's a catchy hook, I can say that.
It's okay. Only lyrics to the song.
They've established the chorus, I know that.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes keep it simple.
Right. If it's good, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
It'll stand for itself.
It's like that song Boomer Sooner, you know? It's the only words of the song.
Anybody want to complain about this song, just ask yourself, do you have a song with Bill Cowher in the video? The
nope.
Answer is no. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Crank that up.
Whoa.
That got serious there towards the end.
That was some rock and roll energy right there.
It's Queen V for you. Cry your eyes out.
Yeah, I didn't know what I expected when I wondered what Queen V's music would sound like, but it's not that. That's not what I expected. It's not bad. I was thinking
Queen V sounded like maybe an R&B type artist. Not heavy metal, but see, that's why
maybe she has some. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we haven't heard her entire catalog. Maybe she does.
Wikipedia refers to her as a metal singer.
Oh.
Heavy, I think when you think
metal.
Queen V, you think of Queen B, right? Beyonce? Like, that's the first thing that kind of popped in my head. It's like, maybe, you know.
I was thinking of SWV.
We need that in the rotation now, I think.
Yep.
SWV? That was one of the first CDs I owned.
Is that right?
It's like the third or fourth. The first CD I ever owned was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, my dad ruined my Christmas gift that year. Got me the CD before I got the CD player. My mom was pissed.
Who am I supposed to play this?
I got Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Yeah. I don't have a CD player, Dad. And my mom's like, "That he was not supposed to open that till after the CD player."
So you had the CD player and wrapped. That was also
that was coming at Grandma.
He went out of order.
Grandma got it. So the CD was supposed to happen at Grandma's house. Grandma Goody.
Right.
Grandma Goody got me a disc man.
Yeah.
This is like back in 92, 93. And so I opened a present in the morning, and it was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And I'm like, huh, but I don't have a CD player, Dad. And my mom just shooting them daggers. If you ruin that CD, now he knows he's getting a CD player. Bob, what's wrong? You know, my dad's just like, I wrapped it. You told me to wrap it. I wrapped it.
Right, Bob didn't care. That was his present. That was it. He wasn't, you know.
You told me to wrap it. I wrapped it and put it under the tree. Right. Anyways. So, yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Got it before I even got a CD player. I had that CD.
Well, maybe this Christmas you'll get a Queen V CD.
Yeah!
There you go. During the segment.
There you go.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, Nate's going to give us an update on FC Dallas. Check in to see how things are going for them as they are ready to take part in the MLS's back tournament. Hopefully there's nothing that is going to slow them down.
So yeah.
We'll get a checkup, and maybe they need a checkup. We'll see, we'll find out how that's going with Nate Bucati after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The slight technical difficulties have been corrected. And the important thing to note here is that it wasn't my fault. So.
But we fixed it.
Right.
And you sound so much better, and I'm so much more happy.
I was going crazy thinking that I had done something wrong on my end. But, like, last night I did NFL Live, and it was fine, and I put everything up. I was like, okay, I'll be ready for tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, it's almost like it's out of nowhere when something happens, like, with your cars. Like, now what the hell? It was just running fine
right.
an hour ago, and, like, this was just fine. What am I doing wrong? And then you question yourself, well, I'm missing a step here. I didn't connect this right. So I take everything down, reconnect everything, you know, because it helps to be OCD in a situation like this. That's you really give yourself, you don't put any pressure on yourself. You know?
I found my phone, too. That was the best commercial break ever.
Right. Jake couldn't find his phone. We were hoping, like, okay, we're going to reset the system back at the station.
Yes.
And see, because this is the deal. So, like, I'm the whole time I'm thinking, oh geez, if we do a system reset back at the station, that doesn't work. Then what? I'm already making my troubleshoot list. Okay, I'm with this, and it worked. And he found his phone. That was a very productive commercial break. That's right. Everything in that commercial break that needed to happen happened. Well, not everything.
Yeah, my bone broth still sitting in the microwave.
Right.
Almost everything. That can
That's
wait.
That's exactly right. That but you wait. Know what? It was good. It was good.
Yeah, success. Great success. Great success.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you may.
So what about FC Dallas, Nate? What do you have for us there?
Well, the MLS's back tournament is on thin ice, according to an epidemiologist that was quoted in the LA Times, because 9 members of the FC Dallas team have tested positive for COVID. Down in the bubble, not all of the teams have entered the bubble yet. Some have. They had like this 2-week window where they could go down there. The earliest they could have gotten there was on the 24th. Sporting Kansas City scheduled to head down to Orlando on Sunday. FC Dallas has been down there. You get tested a couple times before you leave. A couple people from FC Dallas tested positive during those tests. Then as soon as you get to the bubble, they test you again. And they're up to 9 people who have tested positive. And
They are being quarantined. The FC Dallas team is scheduled to play relatively early in the tournament, so that could be a problem. According to this epidemiologist that was quoted in the LA Times, with that many players testing positive, he said, quote, FC Dallas has to quarantine the entire team for 2 weeks. If that means they're out of the tournament, that means they're out of the tournament. What they're saying on MLS's side is that they might push back FC Dallas's first game to give them a chance to quarantine and get everybody cleared. But you also have to keep in mind that they've shut down training for FC Dallas now. I don't know what kind of fitness level they can get back to in a short period of time, assuming they get the outbreak under control and assuming they get back to training. Now, I've mentioned this a couple times on the show. The National Women's Soccer League, which is underway, they had more games again last night. Several Kansas City natives playing in that tournament, by the way, which is cool. But the Orlando Pride in that league had to cancel their participation in the tournament. They had to pull out of the tournament because they had 10 players test positive right before they were scheduled to go to Salt Lake City where they're doing that tournament. So this is real. And this, if you
they were clubbing, we know what would happen there.
Yeah,
right?
They were clubbing. Now,
so what? Can you explain this to me though? Because I had somebody else ask me this before we move on from this. Okay, so every member of the FC Dallas traveling party had tested negative for COVID-19 through the MLS mandated testing service prior to the club's departure on Saturday morning. Then upon arriving in Orlando for the tournament, they had two players test positive for COVID-19.
Well, so look, from what I've been told by a friend of mine who is an ER doctor, that is one of the issues with the tests. There are a lot of false negatives. That's one of the reasons that they are going to keep testing over and over and over again. Because just because you test negative is not like 100% you don't have it. And
what about, and I'm not being a smart ass, but what about false positives?
I don't know as much about that. I haven't asked any doctors myself about that, so I don't want to say anything. I would assume it's possible, but I don't know. And that may, because I think that was one of the things that happened in Orlando, supposedly, is that some of the women had tested positive and then they tested them again and they tested negative on the second one. I don't know if that means the first one was a false positive or the first one was a false negative. I do think we can conclude that shows that the tests are not 100% accurate. And I've been told that by multiple doctors, that the tests are not 100% accurate. They're the best we got. And I think also part of the issue we have is that there's not like a single solitary company or organization that's doing the tests. There are different private organizations that are doing the tests and have different machines that are processing the tests. So I'm speculating here, 100% speculating, but maybe the tests in Dallas were a different organization and a different type of test, you know, in terms of the company that's doing them. And then when they get down there, MLS has a different type of test. I don't know. But I do think that what we have to take from this is be ready for this. If you're not a soccer fan and you don't care about this, I get that. But if you are a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of the NBA, if you're a fan of the NFL, college football, we have seen this now in every sport that is starting to test their players significantly in this country. The virus is widespread enough in this country that you're going to have situations like this. That's just what's happening. Dallas, we know, is a big-time hotspot right now. They're in crisis mode in Dallas, from what we read. So maybe that's part of the reason that these, you know, that it stands to reason that it would be FC Dallas. Orlando is a hotspot. The Orlando women's team had an outbreak. They had to pull out of the tournament. As a person who's part of my livelihood depends on having some soccer to call, I'm going to be optimistic and say hopefully they can either quarantine FC Dallas and push their appearances back in it, or they can at least quarantine FC Dallas and say you're out of the tournament and have everybody else go forward. But it is of note, three other teams were supposed to arrive in Orlando yesterday, and they pushed their flights back because of a couple of positive tests. So, you know, this is and it's going to be an issue. It's I mean, just be ready for that. And I hope that If you're an NFL player, if you're a Major League Baseball player, whatever, you pay attention to these things and you say, okay, I got to be really careful. We all have to be really careful. I can tell you that from a Sporting Kansas City perspective, their attitude right now is, well, they don't want anybody near the players whatsoever. Like, they allowed me to go out to training yesterday, and I had to stand 50 yards away from anybody. And they're probably going to keep that policy for me in place like the rest of my career, just because, you know.
And it's not enough. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, players were asking for a full 200 yards.
Yeah, Beasley was like,
I need two fields.
Can you just stand on the other side of the fence?
give him some binoculars.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could, when you sneeze, 50 yards ain't enough.
That's true.
Right now.
That's true. It's a long range sneeze.
Right.
So, but, you know, their attitude is we've made it this far, and they've been testing for Sporting Kansas City on a daily basis for weeks now. But their attitude is we're this close. Let's not take any chances. Make sure everybody gets down there. And as was pointed out, though, by Eli Drinkwitz on his conference call a couple weeks ago, you can also do everything right and still get it. It is that contagious of a disease that you can do everything right and still catch some bad luck and get it. But the more precautions you take, the better chance you have of avoiding an outbreak like what they've had at FC Dallas. So not good news. I mean, I can't really spin the news as positive. I'm just going to try to hold on to the optimism that they'll be able to take care of it. I mean, I guess the positive part is they're testing everybody well ahead of the tournament. And hopefully, if it's just one or two teams, I think you could probably still have the tournament, you know. But if you start to have like several teams that have outbreaks like this, you got a serious issue on your hands. And the thing that the epidemiologist said in the bubble is you're in close proximity to your own team. And that's where the fear comes of one guy gets it, then all of a sudden 10 guys have it, and you know, you have to be real careful about it. So that's the latest on the MLS's back tournament. Hopefully it doesn't become the MLS's canceled tournament. Let's hope it stays the MLS's back tournament.
So if Jake has heavy action on FC Dallas, maybe he should rethink that right now.
I would advise against betting on FC Dallas right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's another aspect that COVID will affect as we go into the fall, if there is sports. I mean, it's going to affect gambling. Like, just think about the scenario of just... Take the Packers. We'll just take the Packers at random. And Packers are a minus -7 against the Bears.
And by the way, I'm sure this is random.
And so they're minus -7 against the Bears. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers tests positive for COVID.
The Lions swing by 9 points in 1 hour.
But what if you already locked in that minus -7 Packers and then no Aaron Rodgers because 2 days before the game, he tests positive? I mean, that's a reality, and that stuff's going to happen. And that line is going to go to pick 'em.
Yeah,
it's going to be a full touchdown swing, and there's going to be, I mean, it's gamblers waiting till the last second is probably going to be the best avenue to go in terms of how you're, and that's a whole nother conversation for another time, but like that's.
Well, it's actually a whole nother show because we'd like to announce coming up on Sports Radio 810 WHB in a few weeks, Gambling in the Pandemic with Jake Gutierrez. Yeah. It's going to be a 1 hour special.
The show's going to be broke as hell, though.
Right. We're going to.
Just like my pocket.
I tell you, the best way to lose your money during the pandemic by gambling.
But do more shows and get some more.
On the flip side, you could get a great line on the Bears.
Right.
You know, if you got money on the Bears,
smart money's on the Bears.
And Rodgers goes down, you're like, yeah.
+7.
Certainly the value pick there, right?
Yes.
And then you find out Trubisky's the quarterback for the Bears. Like, well, I'm
hopefully
still
he tests positive.
So.
No, that's right. That's wow. That. I did not mean
wow.
That.
Wow.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
No, I did not mean that. I would not wish that on anybody in all honesty.
Let's break.
I'm gonna take a break. I need a glass of water.
And I'm not gonna bet on FC Dallas.
No, don't do that.
No.
Not right now.
Well, I bet Matt Beasley will be on the show at 8:05 to talk about that. How about that kind of bet? That's a sure bet.
Yeah, lock that in.
Lock it in.
Right. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810. WHB, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Buster Olney will be on the show coming up at 7 o'clock to give us the latest from Major League Baseball and get Buster's thoughts on everything that's happening. And so we'll talk to him at 7 o'clock. Also today on the show, after we talk to our main man from ESPN, Buster Olney, we'll talk to former intern here at Union Broadcasting, Kevin Moyer, as we are taking a walk down memory lane and checking in with some former interns of the Border Patrol to see what they're up to now and if they have gone on to great successes after spending some time with us on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And first up in that series will be our friend down in Arkansas, Kevin Moyer. Gary Lezak with the forecast. Matt Beasler, the captain, will be on at 8:05. Mike Golic Jr. at 8:30. And then Tim Grunhard in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's get back to what I started the show with, some of the news from the NFL. Nate and Jake, your reaction to the NFL, sources saying that the NFL plans to shorten the preseason to 2 weeks, but the NFLPA, and they have a conference call to discuss this later on, people in the NFLPA suggesting that maybe two games is still too much and there should be no preseason. Why mix teams and take a chance at flirting with disaster if you don't need to for an unnecessary game or two? Just keep the team together and ramp up for the regular season is what some people are suggesting should happen. What about you, Nate and Jake? What do you think?
Well, I think it makes sense to scrap the preseason. I do. They don't have a preseason in college football, and they go out and play, and they get it done. I mean, if it's that important to play regular season games, they can find a way to do it without playing any preseason games. It's not ideal, but I think it makes sense. But I think it also underscores how difficult it's going to be to pull off football in the midst of a pandemic. It's just going to be really difficult because this is a sport that does not promote social distancing whatsoever. And there are a lot of bodies and a lot of numbers, and there's a lot of heavy breathing on one another, and it's going to be a challenge. So I understand why the NFLPA would say that. And I hope this doesn't set up an ugly round of negotiations like we saw with baseball, where, you know, this is a change in the collective bargaining agreement, right? Like, both parties have to agree to this. So we'll see. Now, I would say that I would think that the NFL owners might be more likely to get rid of preseason games because you make your money in the preseason mostly off of the ticket sales, right? Whereas the regular season, you make most of your money off of the television ratings or television rights deals. And I can't imagine they're going to be able to sell tickets to preseason games, or at least not very many of them, if they can sell any at all. So if I'm the owners, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe this is a year to just move past that. I'm for whatever they can do to get football. I mean, man, I don't want to use the word need, because then if it doesn't happen, what do we do? But I really want some NFL football. We could really use NFL football. We damn near need it. And so whatever it takes to get a regular season of some sort, I'm for.
Pounders preseason football or just forget it?
I mean, logic says just forget it. I think it'll be hard for, I mean, it'll be hard for the teams regardless. Look, that's just the situation they're in. But I feel like the product might suffer slightly. I've never played college football, let alone professional football. So I don't necessarily know what the actual preseason and how I listened to Stan Weber talk about how, you know, it's important and that these players do need some in-game action. And we'll talk to Tim Grunhard at 9 o'clock. That's someone who definitely can speak about it. I think if it's putting the regular season at risk, it's not worth it. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think there's just, we got to do what's best in terms of what's going to be the safest. Even for the teams, I think it might be just going into how you're going to structure the stadium, how you're going to lay it all out. I think those type of operations, it's going to be, I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't foresee any way that you can have fans, but they're NFL saying they're planning on having fans. So I would think that you need some type of game day test run for the organizations, but maybe not. I don't know. But in terms of just the product on the field, if this gets us to the regular season safely, then scrap it. I enjoy that.
That's an easy trade-off.
Yeah, easily.
It's an easy trade-off.
I enjoy that. I don't want to see the preseason. It's despite most people are, who cares? Scrap it. I care about the preseason. I enjoy it. Look, to be honest with you, it's going to take money out of my pocket. I work preseason games. So if they don't do it, then that's okay. But that's the reality of the situation, too. I mean, for me.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Buster Olney at 7 o'clock. But let's, since we're on the topic of the NFL, let's hear from Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst. He was on with Scott Van Pelt last night. Here, Ryan Clark answers the question of how the lack of preseason games will affect younger players.
In making the team, and that's where it stops. The younger players, as far as, you know, the rookies and those guys, I think they'll pick it up fast. They'll make sure the rookies that need to play will get the reps that they need in order to be prepared for the regular season. And obviously the veterans, they don't necessarily learn on game day. And you take the offseason, they at least got the mental reps, and hopefully they were training throughout so they can be ready from a conditioning standpoint. But I think what really happens is some of those guys who are on the cusp, we're going to see those guys being cut. And in talking to some of the coaches, they said the dudes who can pick up what we have to do the fastest are going to be the guys that get the reps.
And here's one more from Ryan Clark on the chances of a full NFL season.
I don't think they should play a full season. I don't think we should be looking for a full season. I think it should be much like baseball has done, like basketball will do when they come back. And I know that we're in the middle of those seasons right now during the pandemic, and football will be different. But let's try to limit some of the contact. Let's try to put people at risk less if we possibly can. And I think that could be a move that the NFL could make. Also, if they come out right now and say they're going to play 12 games or 14 games, and then they're actually able to do that, then it's not a black eye to the league for trying to force their players to do too much.
That was ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark yesterday, and we'll also talk to Tim Grunhardt about those very topics in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be right back after this to wrap things up on TV on 38 The Spot, and we will continue on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. We certainly do appreciate it. I will not be here tomorrow. I'll be hidden. I'll be a hidden treasure. Come and find me.
We're off TV tomorrow.
Buster Olney's next on WHB.